Last night, hundreds of retired Teamsters, former truck drivers, dock workers, and others provided feedback on a rescue plan their pension fund is considering to save it from going broke. Labor expert Frank Emsbach joins us now to talk about how this happened and what retirees could be facing. Frank is the executive producer of Workers Independent News. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, first off, what is Central States Pension Fund proposing here?
Well, first of all, the question is, what are they? They are a multi-employer pension plan. And a multi-employer pension plan is a plan negotiated between many employers and the union. In this case, there's about 1,500 employers that were in the Central States plan, and they cover about 402,000 people. So it's a significant pension plan. What's being proposed is, or what the trustees of the plan have proposed, is that in order to save the plan, they have to reduce benefits of the people who are already retired.
By how much?
Well, it depends. If you're over 80, not at all. If you're a widow over 75, a little bit or not at all. But if you're in your late 60s and you've worked, say, for 30 years, and the company you worked for went bankrupt, which is one of the problems here, considerably amount, maybe 30%, 40%, a huge amount, actually, because the people are affected differently. So I think that first we need to understand what the plan is, and then second, how can you take away somebody's pension after they've earned it? And that gets us into changes in federal law that were made last year in December.
Right. Well, let's talk about that change in law. You're right, December of 2014, a law passed that allowed plans like this to cut benefits. So tell us a little bit about the backstory for how that law got passed.
Well, of course, I don't know how it got passed. A lot of laws get passed, though, and nobody has a clue as to what's going on. In this case, the law was passed in order, from the point of view of the people who supported it, to save pension plans. Up until then, under the original laws called ERISA, you couldn't change or reduce a pension that somebody was already taking. You couldn't do that. The plan couldn't just say, well, we're cutting it. If a plan went bankrupt, there is an organization called the Pension Guarantee Corporation, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, that's supposed to pay the minimum that plan that would go bankrupt would pay. But anyway, December 2014 rolls around, and a number of plans, multi-employer plans, particularly in construction and in trucking, were faced with major, major problems. Either they went bankrupt or they would have to reduce their payments. Under the law at the time, they could not reduce their payments. So it was sort of one way or the other. And so not all organizations, for sure, but some agreed that they would support something called the Multi-Employer Pension Reform Act of 2014. And what that did is it allowed distressed funds to cut promised benefits. And I was in Washington, actually, when that was passed and talking to people on both sides. And people who supported it said, look, if we don't do this, the entire plan's going to go and nobody will get anything. And so some people in Congress were, moved by that. What seemed to be absent from the discussion, at least I didn't hear it, was that everything was treated as a zero-sum game and that nothing could be done. And so I think that we as a society have a real challenge here. We can get on to what that is in a minute. But this plan is huge, and approximately 200,000 people out of the 400,000 will have some negative effect if the plan administrators are allowed by Judge Feinberg, who's now put in charge of this, to cut the plan. So I think this gets very complicated. You know, you have now a federal administrator, Feinberg, who's been sent in to hear what people have to say, and then he can decide a number of different things. He could decide has to stay the same. Good luck. He can decide that the plan is insolvent, but I don't think it's quite insolvent according to everything in the paper. Or he can say, look, I'll give you permission to make certain benefit cuts. So he is doing these listening sessions. This is the second one. I think there's a third one. There was one in Ohio. I believe it was Tuesday.
Now, you're mentioning these listening sessions, and some of the affected retirees last night said they hadn't been given a chance to comment when the initial law passed in 2014. Why wasn't there public comment?
Well, as far as I can tell, there were no public hearings at all, or if they were, they were pretty quiet. And I think the law was sort of rushed through at the end, just like this week. You know, there's this huge trillion-dollar spending bill with all kinds of riders and hundreds of pages, and it's going to be voted on Sunday. Well, last year was the same story. We have to vote on it, keep the government open, you know. It's midnight, and all of a sudden, you know, there are lots and lots of pieces of legislation that get passed in this last week of the session, basically. And same thing happened in 2014. Although then you had a number of people who were very interested in the bill lobbying for its passage, but there wasn't a big public discussion about the implications of the bill.
So looking at Central States Pension Fund, again, a multi-employer plan, seems to be the problem underpinning this is that it's underfunded. So how did that happen?
Well, underfunding pension plans is people write books about it, and we have, you know, like 30 seconds, I suspect. But here's what happened with this plan. You had approximately 1,500 employers. That's a huge number of employers. And in the trucking industry, well, in 1980, the trucking industry is deregulated. Anybody can do anything, basically, at that point. It had been what we sort of a regulated monopoly, more or less, where rates were set. Well, what happened as a result of deregulation is that a large number of trucking companies went bankrupt, so they could no longer pay into the fund. They weren't there, even though their ex-employees were going to benefit from it, you know, 20 years later, like now, like 2015, so 25 years later, 35 years later. So the incoming money went down. So that's bad enough, okay? Then you have, in 2008, you know, a financial crisis in this country. The fund had an awful lot of money tied up in real estate. There's criticisms about their management and so on and so forth. But, you know, they, like everybody else, took a real bath. And so the value of their investments dropped, even though, as 2008, 2009, the number of people retiring increases because people are getting older. So you have both a cut in income and an increase in expenses, and no way to really make it up, because the employers that were paying into the fund were saying, wait a minute, there's a limit here. I can't, you know, be responsible for everybody. And so one of the problems with an employee fund or a challenge is that the ones that are left have to pay everything, so including for the people that have left or had gone bankrupt. So there's an inherent tension here. And all of this has to do with the fact that our pension system in general is underfunded and doesn't really work very well when you have consolidations and continuing reductions in employment and stagnation, as we've had now for 30 years, in wages.
And looking at where we are right now, what would the alternative be to cuts like these?
Well, there could be no cuts, and I suppose the plan could become insolvent, and then the pension guarantee company could take it over. That's a government agency, basically. But the problem is that the size of this fund is such that it would bankrupt that government agency. Another thing to do would be to really reform and take a look at our system here and make a commitment that you'll put enough money into the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation to pay this fund and everybody else's that need it, because it's an obligation that the generations have, and so that if there's a problem, the basic benefits of this fund get paid. So it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. This is a wealthy country. Overall, I think that particularly in a state like this where we have an older population, we need to think about the basis of our retirement system. For those of you who no doubt remember, right, when 1933 rolled around, right? I don't think we have too many people in the audience who were there then. But The idea was old age and survivor's benefits. That's because we had this huge problem in this country of millions of older people starving, you know, being destitute because there was no income when they retired. So we got what is now Social Security. The theory was one-third of your income would come from Social Security, one-third from savings, and one-third from a pension. Well, as it turns out, in 2015 now, most people don't have savings of any amount that could help them out. The top 1% do, the top 5%, but almost nobody else does. And we get to the pension end, many, many pensions were transformed into 401ks or IRAs. People thought, oh, great, stock market's going up, great idea. Well, stock market didn't go up forever. And so most people, more than half, do not have enough money in that IRA to survive after retirement.
And Frank, just in our last minute here, how important is this? What's riding on this decision, and is it going to be a bellwether for workers in other industries and other pension plans?
Well, there are many, many underfunded and improperly funded multi-employer plans. And so people are looking at this to say, what's going to happen if this one is allowed to make these huge changes? What's going to happen to the other ones? There's about 1.5 million people, 2 million people, who are in pension plans, at least according to the various CNN and whatnot, that are in trouble. And so this could be an example of what could happen. This is the first major plan that's going to be dealt with under this new law where benefits can be reduced. So people will be looking at what the administrator does, and then if he gives the plan permission to reduce benefits, what they're going to do.
Frank, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Frank Emspach, executive producer of Workers Independent News. He joined us to talk about possible cuts to the pensions of many retired Teamsters.